Rach could not help smiling broadly. She's a friendly person. Yes, she is. And a good friend of mine. I couldn't help overhearing what you said to her. Wasn't nothing wrong, I think. Not at all. But you called yourself a Joranumite. Rach's heart jumped. His remark to Manella had hit dead center after all. It had meant nothing to her, but it seemed to mean something to her friend. Did that mean he was on the road now? Or merely in trouble? Chapter 12. Rach did his best to size up his new companion without allowing his own face to lose its smooth naivete. The man had sharp greenish eyes, and his right hand clenched almost threateningly into a fist as it rested on the table. Rach looked owlishly at the other and waited. Again the man said, "I understand you call yourself a Joranumite." Rach did his best to look uneasy. It was not difficult. He said, "Why do you ask, mister?" "Because I don't think you're old enough." "I'm old enough. I used to watch Jojo Joranum's speeches on Holovision." "Can you quote them?" Rach shrugged. "No, but I got the idea." "You're a brave young man to talk openly about being a Joranumite. Some people don't like that." "I'm told there are lots of Joranumites in Y." "That may be. Is that why you came here?" "I'm looking for a job. Maybe another Joranumite would help me." "There are Joranumites in Dahl, too. Where are you from?" There was no question that he recognized Rach's accent. That could not be disguised. He said, "I was born in Millamaru, but I lived mostly in Dahl when I was growing up."
"Doing what?"
"Nothing much. Going to school some."
"And why are you a Joranumite?"
Rach let himself heat up a bit. He couldn't have lived in downtrodden, discriminated against Dahl without having obvious reasons for being a Joranumite. He said, "Because I think there should be more representative government in the Empire, more participation by the people, and more equality among the sectors and the worlds. Doesn't anyone with brains and a heart think that?"
"And you want to see the emperorship abolished?"
Rach paused. One could get away with a great deal in the way of subversive statements, but anything overtly anti-emperor was stepping outside the bounds. He said, "I ain't saying that. I believe in the emperor, but ruling a whole empire is too much for one man."
"It isn't one man. There's a whole imperial bureaucracy. What do you think of Harry Seldon, the First Minister?"
"Don't think nothing about him. Don't know about him."
"All you know is that people should be more represented in the affairs of government. Is that right?"
Rach allowed himself to look confused. "That's what Jojo Joranum used to say. I don't know what you call it. I heard someone once call it democracy, but I don't know what that means."
"Democracy is something that some worlds have tried. Some still do. I don't know that those worlds are run better than other worlds. So you're a democrat?"
"Is that what you call it?"
Rach let his head sink as if in deep thought.
"I feel more at home as a Joranumite."
"Of course, as a Dahlite."
"I just lived there a while."
"You're all for people's equalities and such things. The Dahlites, being an oppressed group, would naturally think in that fashion."
"I hear that Y is pretty strong in Joranumite thinking. They're not oppressed."
"Different reason. The old Y mayors always wanted to be emperors. Did you know that?
Rach shook his head.
18 years ago, said the man, Mayor Rachel nearly carried through a coup in that direction. So the Wyans are rebels, not so much Joranumite as anti-Cleon.
Rach said, I don't know nothing about that. I ain't against the emperor.
But you are for popular representation, aren't you? Do you think that some sort of elected assembly could run the Galactic Empire without bogging down in politics and partisan bickering, without paralysis?
Rach said, Huh? I don't understand.
Do you think a great many people could come to some decision quickly in times of emergency, or would they just sit around and argue?
I don't know, but it doesn't seem right that just a few people should have all the say over all the worlds.
Are you willing to fight for your beliefs, or do you just like to talk about them?
No one asked me to do any fighting, said Rach.
Suppose someone did. How important do you think your beliefs about democracy or Joranumite philosophy are?
I'd fight for them, if I thought it would do any good.
There's a brave lad. So, you came to Y to fight for your beliefs?
No, said Rach uncomfortably. I can't say I did. I came to look for a job, sir. It ain't easy to find no jobs these days, and I ain't got no credits. A guy's gotta live.
I agree. What's your name?
The question shot out without warning, but Rach was ready for it. Planchette, sir.
First or last name?
Only name, as far as I know.
You have no credits, and, I gather, very little education.
Afraid so.
And no experience at any specialized job?
I ain't worked much, but I'm willing.
All right. I'll tell you what, Planchette.
He took a small white triangle out of his pocket and pressed it in such a way as to produce a printed message on it. Then he rubbed his thumb across it, freezing it.
I'll tell you where to go. You take this with you, and it may get you a job.
Rach took the card and glanced at it. The signals seemed to fluoresce, but Rach could not read them. He looked at the other man warily.
What if they think I stole it? It can't be stolen. It has my sign on it, and now it has your name.
What if they ask me who you are?
They won't. You say you want a job. There's your chance. I don't guarantee it, but there's your chance.
He gave him another card.
This is where to go.
Rach could read this one.
Thank you, he mumbled.
The man made little dismissing gestures with his hand. Rach rose and left, and wondered what he was getting into.
Chapter 13. Up and down, up and down, up and down.
Gleb and Dorin watched Gamboldin Namarty trudging up and down. Namarty was obviously unable to sit still under the driving force of the violence of his passion. And Dorin thought, he's not the brightest man in the Empire, or even in the movement, not the shrewdest, certainly not the most capable of rational thought. He has to be held back constantly, but he's driven, as none of the rest of us are. We would give up, let go, but he won't. Push, pull, prod, kick. Well, maybe we need someone like that. We must have someone like that, or nothing will ever happen. Namarty stopped, as though he felt Andorin's eyes boring into his back. He turned around and said, "If you're going to lecture me again on Kasparov, don't bother."
And Doran shrugged lightly. "Why bother lecturing you? The deed is done. The harm, if any, has been done."
"What harm, Andorin? What harm? If I had not done it, then we would have been harmed. The man was on the edge of being a traitor. Within a month he would have gone running."
"I know. I was there. I heard what he said."
"Then you understand there was no choice. No choice. You don't think I liked to have an old comrade killed, do you? I had no choice."
"Very well. You had no choice."
Namarty resumed his tramping, then turned again. "Andorin, do you believe in gods?"
Andorin stared. "In what?"
"In gods."
"I never heard the word. What is it?"
Namarty said, "It's not galactic standard. Supernatural influences, how's that?"
"Oh, supernatural influences. Why didn't you say so?"
"No, I don't believe in that sort of thing. By definition, something is supernatural if it exists outside the laws of nature, and nothing exists outside the laws of nature. Are you turning into a mystic?"
Andorran asked it as though he were joking, but his eyes narrowed with sudden concern.
Namarty stared him down. Those blazing eyes of his could stare anyone down. "Don't be a fool. I've been reading about it. Trillions of people believe in supernatural influences."
"I know," said Andorran. "They always have."
"They've done so since before the beginning of history. The word gods is of unknown origin. It is, apparently, a hangover from some primeval language of which no trace any longer exists except that word. Do you know how many different varieties of beliefs there are in various kinds of gods?"
"Approximately as many as the variety of fools among the galactic population, I should say."
Namarty ignored that. "Some people think the word dates back to the time when all humanity existed on but a single world."
"Itself a mythological concept. That's just as lunatic as the notion of supernatural influences. There never was one original human world."
"There would have to be, Andorran," said Namarty, annoyed. "Human beings can't have evolved on different worlds and ended as a single species."
"Even so, there's no effective human world. It can't be located, it can't be defined, so it can't be spoken of sensibly. So it effectively doesn't exist."
"These gods," said Namarty, continuing to follow his own line of thought, "are supposed to protect humanity and keep it safe, or at least to care for those portions of humanity that know how to make use of the gods. At a time when there was only one human world, it makes sense to suppose they would be particularly interested in caring for that one tiny world with a few people. They would care for such a world as though they were big brothers or parents."
"Very nice of them. I'd like to see them try to handle the entire empire."
"What if they could? What if they were infinite?"
"What if the sun were frozen? What's the use of what if?"
"I'm just speculating, just thinking. Haven't you ever let your mind wander freely? Do you always keep everything on a leash?"
"I should imagine that's the safest way, keeping it on a leash. What does your wandering mind tell you, Chief?"
Namarty's eyes flashed at the other as though he suspected sarcasm, but Andorran's face remained good-natured and blank. Namarty said, What my mind is telling me is this. If there are gods, they must be on our side.
Wonderful, if true. Where's the evidence?
Evidence? Without the gods, it would just be a coincidence, I suppose, but a very useful one.
Suddenly, Namarti yawned and sat down, looking exhausted.
Good, thought Andoran. His galloping mind has finally wound itself down, and he may talk sense now. This matter of internal breakdown of the infrastructure, said Namarti, his voice distinctly lower.
Andoran interrupted. You know, Chief, Kaspalov was not entirely wrong about this. The longer we keep it up, the greater the chance that Imperial forces will discover the cause. The whole program must sooner or later explode in our faces.
Not yet. So far, everything is exploding in the Imperial face. The unrest on Trantor is something I can feel.
He raised his hands, rubbing his fingers together.
I can feel it. And we are almost through. We are ready for the next step.
Andoran smiled humorlessly. I'm not asking for details, Chief. Kaspalov did, and look where that got him. I am not Kaspalov.
It's precisely because you're not Kaspalov that I can tell you, and because I know something now I didn't then.
I presume, said Andoran, only half believing what he was saying, that you intend a strike on the Imperial Palace grounds.
Namarti looked up. Of course. What else is there to do? The problem, however, is how to penetrate the grounds effectively. I have my sources of information there, but they are only spies. I'll need men of action on the spot.
To get men of action into the most heavily guarded region in all the galaxy will not be easy.
Of course not. That's what has been giving me an unbearable headache till now. And then the gods intervened.
Andoran said gently, it was taking all his self-restraint to keep from showing his disgust, I don't think we need a metaphysical discussion. What has happened, leaving the gods to one side?
My information is that His Gracious and ever-to-be beloved Emperor Cleon I has decided to appoint a new chief gardener. This is the first new appointee in nearly a quarter of a century.
And if so?
Do you see no significance?
Andoran thought for a moment. I am not a favorite of your gods. I don't see any significance.
If you have a new chief gardener, Andoran, the situation is the same as having a new administrator of any other type. The same as if you had a new first minister or a new emperor. The new chief gardener will certainly want his own staff. He will force into retirement what he considers deadwood, and will hire younger gardeners by the hundreds.
That's possible.
It's more than possible. It's certain. Exactly that happened when the present chief gardener was appointed, and the same when his predecessor was appointed, and so on. Hundreds of strangers from the outer worlds.
Why from the outer worlds?
Use your brains, if you have any, Andoran. What do Trantorians know about gardening when they've lived under domes all their lives, tending potted plants, zoos, and carefully arranged crops of grains and fruit trees? What do they know about life in the wild?
Ah, now I understand.
So there will be these strangers flooding the grounds. They will be carefully checked, I presume, but they won't be as tightly screened as they would be if they were Trantorians. And that means, surely, that we should be able to supply just a few of our own people with false identifications and get them inside. Even if some are screened out, a few might make it. A few must make it. Our people will enter, despite the super-tight security established since the failed coup in the early days of First Minister Selden. He virtually spat out the name, as he always did. We'll finally have our chance. Now it was Andoran who felt dizzy, as if he'd fallen into a spinning vortex. It seems odd for me to say so, Chief, but there is something to this God's business after all, because I have been waiting to tell you something that I now see fits in perfectly. Namarti stared at the other suspiciously and looked around the room, as though he suddenly feared for security. But such fear was groundless. The room was located deep in an old-fashioned residential complex and was well shielded. No one could overhear, and no one, even with detailed directions, could find it easily, nor get through the layers of protection provided by loyal members of the organization. Namarti said, "What are you talking about? I've found a man for you, a young man, very naive, a quite likable fellow, the kind you feel you can trust as soon as you see him. He's got an open face, wide open eyes. He's lived in Dahl. He's an enthusiast for equality. He thinks Joronum was the greatest thing since Dahlite Coke Icers, and I'm sure we can easily talk him into doing anything for the cause." "For the cause," said Namarti, whose suspicions were not in the least alleviated. "Is he one of us?" "Actually, he's not one of anything. He's got some vague notions in his head that Joronum wanted sector equality." "That was his lure, sure." "It's ours, too, but the kid believes it. He talks about equality and popular participation in government. He even mentioned democracy." Namarti sniggered. "In 20,000 years, democracy has never been used for very long without falling apart." "Yes, but that's not our concern. It's what drives the young man. And I tell you, Chief, I knew we had our tool just about the moment I saw him, but I didn't know how we could possibly use him. Now I know. We can get him onto the Imperial Palace grounds as a gardener."
"How? Does he know anything about gardening?"
"No, I'm sure he doesn't. He's never worked at anything but unskilled labor. He's operating a hauler right now, and I think that he had to be taught how to do that. Still, if we can get him in as a gardener's helper, if he just knows how to hold a pair of shears, then we've got it."
"Got what?"
"Got someone who can approach anyone we wish, and do so without raising the flutter of a suspicion, and get close enough to strike. I'm telling you, he simply exudes a kind of honorable stupidity, a kind of foolish virtue that inspires confidence."
"And he'll do what we tell him to do?"
"Absolutely."
"How did you meet this person?"
"It wasn't I. It was Manella who really spotted him."
"Who?"
"Manella. Manella Dubanka."
"Oh, that friend of yours."
Namarti's face twisted into a look of prissy disapproval. "She's the friend of many people," said Andoran tolerantly. "That's one of the things that makes her so useful. She can weigh a man quickly, and with very little to go on. She talked to this fellow because she was attracted to him at sight, and I assure you that Manella is not one who is usually attracted by anything but the bottom line,
So you see, this man is rather unusual. She talked to this fellow, his name is Planchette, by the way, and then told me, I have a live one for you, Gleb. I'll trust her on the matter of live ones any day of the week. Namarty said slyly, And what do you think this wonderful tool of yours would do once he had the run of the grounds, eh, Andorin? Andorin took a deep breath. What else? If we do everything right, he will dispose of our dear Emperor Cleon, first of that name, for us. Namarty's face blazed into anger. What? Are you mad? Why should we want to kill Cleon? He's our hold on the government. He's the facade behind which we can rule. He's our passport to legitimacy. Where are your brains? We need him as a figurehead. He won't interfere with us, and we'll be stronger for his existence. Andorin's fair face turned blotchy red, and his good humor finally exploded. What do you have in mind, then? What are you planning? I'm getting tired of always having to second-guess. Namarty raised his hand. All right. All right. Calm down. I meant no harm. But think a bit, will you? Who destroyed Joranum? Who destroyed our hopes 10 years ago? It was that mathematician. And it is he who rules the empire now with his idiotic talk about psychohistory. Cleon is nothing. It is Harry Seldon we must destroy. It is Harry Seldon whom I've been turning into an object of ridicule with these constant breakdowns. The miseries they entail are placed at his doorstep. It is all being interpreted as his inefficiency, his incapacity. There was a trace of spittle in the corners of Namarty's mouth. When he's cut down, there will be a cheer from the Empire that will drown out every Holovision report for hours. It won't even matter if they know who did it. He raised his hand and let it drop, as if he were plunging a knife into someone's heart. We will be looked upon as heroes of the Empire, as saviors. Eh? Eh? Do you think your youngster can cut down Harry Seldon? Andorin had recovered his sense of equanimity, at least outwardly. I'm sure he would, he said with forced lightness. For Cleon, he might have some respect. The Emperor has a mystical aura about him, as you know. He stressed the U faintly, and Namarty scowled. He would have no such feelings about Seldon. Inwardly, however, Andorin was furious. This was not what he wanted. He was being betrayed. Chapter 14 Manella brushed the hair out of her eyes and smiled up at Rach. I told you it wouldn't cost you any credits. Rach blinked and scratched at his bare shoulder. But are you going to ask me for some now? She shrugged and smiled rather impishly. Why should I? Why shouldn't you? Because I'm allowed to take my own pleasure sometimes. With me? There's no one else here. There was a long pause, and then Manella said soothingly, Besides, you don't have that many credits anyway. How's the job? Rach said, Ain't much, but better than nothing. Lots better. Did you tell that guy to get me one? Manella shook her head slowly. You mean Gleb Andorin? I didn't tell him to do anything. I just said he might be interested in you. Is he going to be annoyed because you and I... Why should he? None of his business, and none of yours either. What's he do? I mean, what does he work at? I don't think he works at anything. He's rich. He's a relative of the old mayor's.
Of why?
Right. He doesn't like the imperial government. None of those old mayor people do. He says Cleon should...
She stopped suddenly and said,
I'm talking too much. Don't you go repeating anything I say.
Me? I ain't heard you say nothing at all, and I ain't going to.
All right.
But what about Andorin? Is he high up in Joranumite business? Is he an important guy there?
I wouldn't know.
Don't he ever talk about that kind of stuff?
Not to me.
Oh, said Rach, trying not to sound annoyed. Manella looked at him shrewdly.
Why are you so interested?
I want to get in with them. I figure I'll get higher up that way. Better job. More credits, you know.
Maybe Andorin will help you. He likes you. I know that much.
Could you make him like me more?
I can try. I don't know why he shouldn't. I like you. I like you more than I like him.
Thank you, Manella. I like you, too. A lot. He ran his hand down the side of her body and wished ardently that he could concentrate more on her and less on his assignment. Chapter 15. Gleb Andorin, said Harry Seldon wearily, rubbing his eyes.
And who is he?
Asked Doris Van Abbley, her mood as cold as it had been every day since Rach had left.
Until a few days ago, I never heard of him, said Seldon.
That's the trouble with trying to run a world of 40 billion people. You never hear of anyone, except for the few who obtrude themselves on your notice. With all the computerized information in the world, Trantor remains a planet of anonymities. We can drag up people with their reference numbers and their statistics. But whom do we drag up? Add 25 million outer worlds, and the wonder is that the Galactic Empire has remained a working phenomenon for all these millennia. Frankly, I think it has existed only because it very largely runs itself. And now it is finally running down.
So much for philosophizing, Harry, said Doris. Who is this Andorin?
Someone I admit I ought to have known about. I managed to cajole the security establishment into calling up some files on him. He's a member of the Wyan mayorality family, the most prominent member, in fact, so the security people have kept tabs on him. They think he has ambitions, but is too much of a playboy to do anything about them.
And is he involved with the Joranumites?
Seldon made an uncertain gesture. I'm under the impression that the security establishment knows nothing about the Joranumites. That may mean that the Joranumites no longer exist, or that if they do, they are of no importance. It may also mean that the security establishment just isn't interested. Nor is there any way in which I can force it to be interested. I'm only thankful the officers give me any information at all. And I am the First Minister.
Is it possible that you're not a very good First Minister?
Said Doris dryly.
That's more than possible.
It's probably been generations since there's been an appointee less suited to the job than myself. But that has nothing to do with the security establishment. It's a totally independent arm of the government. I doubt that Cleon himself knows much about it. Though, in theory, the security officers are supposed to report to him through their director. Believe me, if we only knew more about the security establishment, we'd be trying to stick its actions into our psychohistorical equations, such as they are.
Are the security officers on our side, at least?
I believe so, but I can't swear to it.
And why are you interested in this what's-his-name?
Gleb Andorin, because I received a roundabout message from Rach.
Dora's eyes flashed.
Why didn't you tell me? Is he all right?
As far as I know, but I hope he doesn't try any further messages. If he's caught communicating, he won't be all right. In any case, he has made contact with Andorin.
And the Joranumites, too?
I don't think so. It would sound unlikely, for the connection is not something that would make sense. The Joranumite movement is predominantly lower class, a proletarian movement, so to speak. And Andorin is an aristocrat of aristocrats. What would he be doing with the Joranumites?
If he's of the Wyan mayoralty family, he might aspire to the imperial throne, might he not?
They've been aspiring for generations. You remember Rachel, I trust. She was Andorin's aunt.
Then he might be using the Joranumites as a stepping stone, don't you think?
If they exist. And if they do, and if a stepping stone is what Andorin wants, I think he'd find himself playing a dangerous game. The Joranumites, if they exist, would have their own plans, and a man like Andorin may find he's simply riding a Greti.
What's a Greti?
Some extinct animal of a ferocious type, I think. It's just a proverbial phrase back on Helicon. If you ride a Greti, you find you can't get off, for then it will eat you.
Selden paused.
One more thing. Rach seems to be involved with a woman who knows Andorin, and through whom he thinks he may get important information. I'm telling you this now so that you won't accuse me afterward of keeping anything from you.
Doris frowned. A woman?
One, I gather, who knows a great many men who will talk to her unwisely sometimes under intimate circumstances.
One of those?
Her frown deepened.
I don't like the thought of Rach.
Come, come. Rach is 30 years old and undoubtedly has much experience. You can leave this woman, or any woman, I think, safely to Rach's good sense. He turned toward Doris with a look so worn, so weary, and said,
Do you think I like this? Do you think I like any of this?
And Doris could find nothing to say. Chapter 16. Gamble Dean DeMarty was not, at even the best of times, noted for his politeness and suavity, and the approaching climax of a decade of planning had left his disposition sour. He rose from his chair with some agitation and said, You've taken your time getting here, Andorin.
Andorin shrugged.
But I'm here.
And this young man of yours, this remarkable tool that you're touting, where is he?
He'll be here eventually.
Why not now? Andorin's rather handsome head seemed to sink a bit, as though he were lost in thought or coming to a decision. And then he said abruptly,
I don't want to bring him until I know where I stand.
What does that mean?
Simple words in galactic standard. How long has it been your aim to get rid of Harry Selden?
Always. Always. Is that so hard to understand? We deserve revenge for what he did to Jojo. Even if he hadn't done that, since he's the First Minister, we'd have to put him out of the way.
But it's Cleon. Cleon who must be brought down. If not only he, then at least he, in addition to Selden.
Why does a figurehead concern you?
You weren't born yesterday. I've never had to explain my part in this, because you're not so ignorant a fool as not to know. What can I possibly care about your plans if they don't include a replacement on the throne?
Namarti laughed. Of course. I've known for a long time that you look upon me as your footstool, your way of climbing up to the imperial throne.
Would you expect anything else?
Not at all. I will do the planning, take the chances, and then, when all is quite done, you gather in the reward. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does make sense. For the reward will be yours, too. Won't you become the First Minister? Won't you be able to count on the full support of a new emperor, one who is filled with gratitude?
Won't I be? And his face twisted with irony as he spat out the words.
The new figurehead?
Is that what you plan to be, a figurehead?
I plan to be the emperor. I supplied advances of credit when you had none. I supplied the cadre when you had none. I supplied the respectability you needed to build a large organization here in Y. I can still withdraw everything I've brought in.
I don't think so.
Do you want to risk it? Don't think you can treat me the way you treated Kaspalov either. If anything happens to me, Y will become uninhabitable for you and yours, and you will find that no other sector will supply you with what you need.
Namarti sighed. Then you insist on having the Emperor killed.
I didn't say killed. I said brought down. The details I leave to you.
This last statement was accompanied with an almost dismissive wave of the hand, a flick of the wrist, as if Andoran were already sitting on the imperial throne.
And then you'll be emperor?
Yes.
No, you won't. You'll be dead. And not at my hands either. Andoran, let me teach you some of the facts of life. If Cleon is killed, then the matter of the succession comes up. And to avoid civil war, the Imperial Guard will at once kill every member of the Wyan mayoral family they can find, you first of all. On the other hand, if only the First Minister is killed, you will be safe.
Why?
A First Minister is only a First Minister. They come and go. It is possible that Cleon himself may have grown tired of him and arranged the murder. Certainly we would see to it that rumors of this sort are spread. The Imperial Guard would hesitate and would give us a chance to put the new government into place. Indeed, it is quite possible that they themselves would be grateful for the end of Selden.
And with the new government in place, what am I to do? Keep on waiting? Forever?
No. Once I'm First Minister, there will be ways of dealing with Cleon. I may even be able to do something with the Imperial Guard, and even with the security establishment, and use them all as my instruments. I will then manage to find some safe way of getting rid of Cleon and replacing him with you.
Andoran burst out, "Why should you?"